Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you know how to find the right oil for your car? Now you can find out quickly and easily online, thanks to Castrol's Rego to Oil tool. Simply type in your Rego, select your state, and within seconds you'll know the best Castrol products to unlock the edge of performance in your car. So what's your car best suited to? Just search Rego, the number 2, and oil, and find out. Hey everybody, Aaron Noonan here. Welcome again to the V8 Sleuth podcast powered by Repco. My guest on this edition is Leanne Tander, and we split her recent chat over 2 weeks because there was so much to talk about and so much to go through. This is part 2 of that chat. Now in this part, we talk about Leanne getting back into motor racing and the difficulties of those V8 supercar development seasons, how Tander Sport came to be with her racing in Formula 3 and competing and very nearly winning the National Driver's title for the Gold Star. We talk about her going back to supercars and back to the Bathurst 1000, winning the Formula Ford National Crown as a mum, and Leanne also tackles the National Motor Racing Museum, Couch Racer Questions, and the Motor Focus Top 10 Shootout as well. So, here we go. Buckle up, time to start part 2 of Leanne Tander on the V8 Sleuth podcast, powered by Repco. It's sort of a bridging period there over the next few years where you did bits and pieces of stuff. And then kind of the once the Tander Sport, Gold Star, Formula 3 stuff started to happen, it's called kind of the next major pillar era. But I think I remember that you drove the Corolla production car. Mm-hmm. There was the Daihatsu production car. Mm-hmm. Was it kind of a case of, oh, I'll do anything that is going here, I'm busy working? Were you kind of at that point of your career that you're at now? It was kind of, oh, where it suits, where it fits, I've got some other stuff on.
Yeah, well, like I said, like at the end of 2002, I was like, no, okay, we're not going to do this again. We can't do it properly. There's no point doing it. I'm going to just finish my degree. So, because in 2003 is when I actually finished my degree, because I did it part-time so I could keep racing. So I had to finish my degree, and that's what I said to Dad and everyone. I'm like, no, just going to finish studying, get to work. And I think it was in – and then my dad, I think he had been building up an RX-7, or he went and bought an RX-7 for improved production or something. And so then he and Garth were like, oh, you know, why don't you just drive this a bit? And,
so they've done this a few times on you, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Ganged up to go, come on.
Yeah, come on, let's drive it. And then so in 2003 I sort of started driving Dad's improved production car, and then that's when, like, Rick Bates got me to drive his Syrian – for a couple of fill-in spots.
How would you describe a Daihatsu Syrian? Because it was a production cars, I think it was off the back of the Pro Car series. It was kind of like a mini ute thing. It was a bit tiny. Yeah.
It was so tiny, but it was really fun across the top of Bathurst.
Oh, that's right. You drove it there. Oh, you're brave.
Yeah. Oh, no,
you're silly.
It was pretty much flat. Like
the whole lap.
It was so slow.
And a three-minute special.
And poor Rick, because, you know, obviously he was doing it because of his connection with Toyota through Rally and all that stuff. So he was kind of lumped with this car, which you could just, you know, he's such a great driver, and he's in this little car that, yeah, it's pretty slow. But, yeah, by him inviting me to do a couple of races in his car when he couldn't because he was rallying, you know, then that got me the connection with Toyota. So then in 2004 I actually had a full – season again in the production car championship in the Toyota Corolla.
Was that the Sportivo?
It was.
Yeah,
I think so. I think if you have a look around here, there's a model of it somewhere.
I remember it.
Over there somewhere.
Little white and red, the traditional sort of Toyota racing colours.
Yeah, and it was really cool. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, so doing that and the Mazda in the improved production.
Did this get the love back?
Yeah, because it was fun again.
Yeah,
you know,
no pressure.
Yeah, good exactly.
Fun. Back so to how I was, it starts with racing. Yeah.
Going away with good people, having fun, being successful. I mean, and I know it's just, you know, just production cars or whatever, but, you know, I managed to win my class in the Toyotas, in the production cars in my Toyota Class C, I think it was. And I think I came third outright. And it was pretty fun because they had those like handicap starts.
That's right. I forgot so, that. Yeah.
So you kind of started.
So you actually stood a chance of actually winning a race, not just your class, because you could, you know, you got a head start over the faster, bigger cars. Yeah. And if you were good enough, you could get home before they got to you.
Yeah. So I actually started.
We should have more handicap racing.
Was so cool.
Yeah, I reckon.
And I remember actually Grant Denyer once was, I think, started. Maybe he wasn't here. Maybe it was someone else. Let's give it a benefit of the doubt. Let's say it was someone else. Because you'd all grid up and there was like two grid rows. So they'd have class like D at the front and then there'd be two grid rows and then class C, two grid rows, B, so on. So the first class got the normal light start. So the red lights would go on and then the lights would go out and the first class would go. And I remember sitting there, it was at Sandown once, and I'm sitting there in my class C and class D, the lights have gone for class D and somebody from class B has gone.
B, D sounds the same to me.
And just gone past all of us up the inside of at Sandown. And I'm like, wow. And then I think they stopped and reversed to try and get back to their spot. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really safe. And in the meantime, I'm trying to focus, so I'm ready to start my, you know. But no, it was really fun doing that. And then it was really fun doing the production cars and the improved production cars in the Mazda, and had quite a bit of success in those, which did make me enjoy the motorsport. But even then, at that point, I probably didn't have a lot of, you know, I think it was 2005, I won the New South Wales and Victorian State Championships in improved production.
And were they a one-off?
No,
they were a series.
Yeah. So I was actually doing a lot of racing. I was doing the New South Wales and the Victorian Championships in my Mazda, and, you know, lots of people didn't like it because it was very controversial.
Why?
I don't know.
Hang on, a Mazda RX-7 with controversy.
It was controversial.
Alan Moffat, you. What was it about the rotary thing, the rice burner, I think Dick Johnson called it?
Oh, yeah, it was something about rose bushes or something on the Mazda. I don't know. You'll probably have lots of people being able to tell you exactly what the controversy was about.
All the things you were allegedly doing wrong.
Yep.
Right.
But anyway, okay. That was lots of fun. And we went away, like it was me and Dad and Garth would be there when he wasn't racing, and the guys that worked, had a couple of Daves. One of them was a tuner and one of them was the engine builder, and we all came along.
And so did you run this all yourself? So is this kind of the nucleus of what Tanda Sport became, your own team, or was
sort
it just
of.
The sort of the very early beginnings of what that became that?
Yeah, it was very early beginnings. I think it was literally just my dad loves racing, and at this point he'd got to a point, or maybe he was panicking that everyone had stopped racing and what was
I
he going
to
do with
race.
Himself?
I want to go to the track again.
So he's got this Mazda and he's like, well, yeah, and you've got to drive it. And, you know, Garth loved it. Garth loved working on it from the other side in terms of trying to make it handle and I guess playing around with the handling of a car and seeing what happens in a way that you can't really do that in the supercars because it costs a fortune every time you go testing. You can't just go, oh, what happens if we do this? And what happens if we do that?
We spend money. That's what we do.
Yeah. So I think he really enjoyed that aspect of it. So he was like my engineer, and it was just lots of fun. And we just went out and, like I said, we were successful and never managed to win the national championship, though. It was always a one-off event and something always happened. So I never managed to get it. But yeah, it was just really enjoyable. But I still, like I said, I still didn't have any visions at that point of going back into serious racing because I felt that was over. So it was only in 2005, into 2005, I think someone came up to us and, I mean, they're just trying to spruik Formula 3 racing, but kind of like, oh, you know, have you considered racing Formula 3? And I was just like, no. And then they're like, oh, someone was, you know, you can race in this car at the upcoming round, like in 2000, I think it was 2006 or something, or end of 2005, you know, just do one-off rounds, see how it goes. And I was the one saying, no, not doing it.
So again.
Yeah.
You're the one saying no, and other people are going, come on.
It's going to sound wanted to go racing in my life. Here.
This is like the motor racing career that just keeps on going at other people's insistence.
I was just still really like, I felt comfortable where I was, and I felt like these people weren't treating me poorly. There was nobody, like, I felt good. I felt comfortable. We were getting some success. It was fun, which is what I loved about motorsport most of the time anyway. And then I actually, as soon as someone mentioned Formula 3, my first thought was, I'm not going to be able to do that. Whereas, you know, if you wind me back to...
You're not capable of doing it, or you can't afford to do
it? Yeah, I'm not capable.
Really?
Yeah. Whereas if you wound me back to end of go-karting, even end of Formula Ford, and you'd ask me, I would have been like...
You'd be like, I'm going for it.
I'm going to smash that thing.
So it's like that your confidence had been hit so hard in that almost single year of that supercar thing that it took a long time to recover, which is...
Yeah.
I guess it's one of those things that half of the battle of motor racing, and I've never done the driving thing and I don't pertain to know how it feels, but from the outside, you get kicked and you're down more times than you're up there getting a trophy.
Yep.
So it's how you can keep dusting yourself off.
Mm.
So it kind of got to the point where you went, I just don't want to dust myself off anymore here. But clearly everyone else could see that you were wasted by not racing.
I don't know.
Because you're really good. So everyone else went, come on, just had to keep nudging you along. And so the Formula 3 thing's kind of a line that gets thrown out that you dismiss that did Garth or did your dad or did other people go, come on, let's go and have a look at that. That sounds like something good.
It was Garth and Dad again, kind of like, you'll be fine.
they're like this little duo. They're like a little corporation between them of,
I know.
Come on, back you go.
No, and now that I sit here and say it all, I'm like, geez, they should have just, I don't know, it's like they should have just let me give up. Like, if I had other people around me, they probably would have just said, oh, are you going to sit there and feel sorry for yourself? Well, stuff you. You can just do that. But, like, it wasn't, So I just felt like my confidence. I was just like, no, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to be competitive. I'd be slow. And then people will, I felt very much like people would, and it was probably my own level, my own expectations for myself, but I felt other people will judge me if I go and drive that and I'm slow, then everyone will think that I'm a shit driver and that, you know. So it was more like self-protective of like, I don't want, I'm going okay now, I'm having fun, I don't need
Let's
to do
not
that.
Stuff it up.
And but anyway, they managed to convince me again. and I did all right, and more importantly, it was amazing driving the Formula 3 car. It was amazing. And so then I was like, yeah, okay. And then that's when we decided to get a Formula 3 car and go racing.
And was it because of this that the concept of having Tanda Sport, the team that you guys ran when you ran that car, was born? Or was there a thought that that's something that maybe Garth wanted to do himself and then it just all rolled into this? Or did it come out of the Formula 3 thing evolving? Or was created for the Formula 3 thing is probably what I'm trying to get
to. Well, we always had, I guess, so Garth had always thought maybe one day like to run his own race team, that kind of thing. Not while he was full-time driver, because he'd seen other people do that and it's not been successful. So that was not on his radar to do that at a supercar level, but it was something like, well, this could be an opportunity to do it at a lower level with less pressure. It also gave him, again, more of that opportunity of engineering a car. And he's always been somebody who, I mean, some drivers and myself is probably included in this, drive a car, maybe we know we want more of this or more of that, or the car's, you know, understeering or whatever, but we wouldn't necessarily know what change to make to fix that. Whereas he's always been very technical in his understanding of the car and what makes it do what. So for him, I think he really was excited about that idea of actually engineering a car, like a proper race car, with all the stuff you've got, including
adjustability,
wings and all that stuff.
Lots of stuff to fiddle with, basically.
Yeah. So that's kind of – so it really just started as a team for me to do that, and then we sort of had other people come along as well. But yeah, the Formula 3 car was pretty awesome.
Not heaps of power, but lots of grip, lots of aero, fast cars.
Yep.
For anyone who's not seen them in overseas racing or in Australia, they're an amazingly quick little device.
Mm.
So and at the time, Formula 3 was for the Gold Star, which, of course, is back now with S5000. It's been on holidays for a few years. No one was getting any stars of any colour for a while there. And then I think you finished runner-up 2 years in a row, didn't you? And, like, pipped at the post in one of them, like, really, what, 2 points or something like that?
Yeah, 2 points in 2007 and 4 points in 2008.
Sorry. 2 years with a combined 6 points.
So, yeah, it was so the first year, oh, my God, devastated. Like, having been So that's the thing. For someone who was for so long just going, I'm done. Like, I threw everything at it in 2007. You know, I felt like I was driving better than ever. I was getting my confidence back and feeling good about everything and put absolutely everything of myself into it, and to come up 2 points short, oh, fuck.
And that was the year Garth won the supercar title.
Yeah, so yeah, which was awesome.
He could have, you know, I mean, both great results. But, yeah. I mean, not many families can or will ever again be able to say that they had one half winning the supercars title and the other half finishing runner-up in the Gold Star. But, yeah.
That's- but I remember, like, so I think they were overseas. It was the end of the year. You might even know because of your amazing memory for these things. So they were over in, like, a Middle Eastern country.
As,
like,
otherwise known as nerdiness.
Yeah.
Was this Bahrain when they did that HSV club sport race thing?
Maybe. It was at the end of the year in 2007.
Yeah.
So I had to do the last round and Garth wasn't there. And Garth was, like, on a plane or something. And I remember I qualified pole in 2007 for that last round.
And where was that at?
Oran Park.
Oran Park, yeah.
So I qualified pole and, like, you know, that's – I needed to do that because I needed to win the thing. I think I went into that round leading. So I needed to get pole. You got a point for pole. And so I remember calling him and saying, yep, got pole. And he's like, yeah, excellent, excellent. And then I think he was on a plane or something for whatever long, and I remember having to call him and go, I lost. Oh. And I was, like, crying. Oh. It was horrible. And then there was a drug tester there. So I knew I was going to get drug tested because, oh, look, there's a female drug tester at the racetrack, right? So
they're only here for female race driver, aren't they?
So I'm like, oh, I know I'm going to get drug tested. But anyway, at the end of the final race, and because I finished second in both races because I stuffed the starts in both of them. So I've gone, you know, she's following me around because that's what they have to do once they
– can't let you – out of their sight.
No, yeah. Exactly. So she's following me around everywhere. But basically I finished the race and, you know, congratulated Tim. And
that's Tim Macro, isn't it?
Tim Macro, yep. Didn't take my helmet off because at this stage, bawling.
Few tears, yeah, okay.
Heading back to the truck and she's come up to me. She's like, oh, I'm going to do a drug test, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You're going to have to follow me because I'm not going right now. And I go into the truck and I literally just collapsed at the back of the truck and my mum's there and Samantha Reed, who's another girl that raced, and she was like my friend and she was there as well, and so she came in the truck and I'm just a mess, an absolute mess in the back of the truck. I still remember my mum trying to explain to the drug tester, she's not a bad sport, she's just really disappointed. And I mean in the moment I'm just like in a mess and I can't comment, but I remember thinking that, oh my, does she think I'm a bad sport because I'm upset because I lost? Like, surely she, you know, she's a drug tester, so she will have been around this before, surely.
Seen it all.
But yeah, I just remember, I'm like, she's not a bad sport. She's just tried so hard and she's just really disappointed. So, yeah, so that was that year. That was tough. But, and then I sat at home for 2 weeks eating Tim Tams and watching daytime movies afterwards. I think I watched, like, Gone with the Wind and, you know, that kind of stuff. Oreos, ate so many Oreos, I actually can't really eat them anymore.
You've got a full natural intolerance to them now because you ate 29 packets.
Yep. So that was
the end of that year.
Yeah. So that was good.
Every lap in under a minute. Every move made to matter. Every decision impacting the outcome of the race. Supercars in Perth. Every second matters. Bosch Power Tools Perth Super Sprint, May 17 to 19. Book now at Ticketek. Supercars, unforgettable.
But overall, that little period was great.
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Running your own thing.
Yep.
You're successful. You compete for championships. You're winning races. You're up the front. You got your mojo back.
Yep.
Basically, you love the sport again.
Yep.
So how do you end up getting 8 years on from your last Bathurst 1000? Because you've only done Bathurst once.
Yes.
With that year with Paul Dumbrell in the second GRM car. And then you're in Konica Series the next year. So you'd not done another supercar run. Mm. How does the chance to go to Bathurst and at the time Phillip Island for the 500 wasn't Sandown, how does that come up in 2009? Because it's kind of like the whole V8 thing's over for you, but then it's on again.
Yeah. Well, it actually came through John Bow. So he actually asked me whether I would be interested in in running in the supercars again, like because he had a connection with John McMillan from Wilson Securities. So I think he was being sponsored by them at the time, mm-hmm. and he was helping John try to find some drivers. And I think, look, from both a marketing perspective and I think just because he's a, you know, he's a good guy, I think John was keen to promote women in the sport. And I think he also saw that there was a good marketing thing. Mm. And at that time, we were a lot more moved on, that people were starting to recognize that a woman in your team could actually lift the profile and sort of gain more media exposure and that kind of stuff. Mm. Whereas back in 2001, there really wasn't much of that awareness, mm. Which was unusual. Like we could see it, but other people couldn't really see it. Whereas by 2009, I think everyone's going, oh, hang on, that could actually help a little bit. So it sort of came up that John called me and he asked me like if I'd be interested in something like that, and I was like, well, yeah, of course.
Duh.
And again, because I'd had my confidence back, I was very quick to say, yeah, I'd love to do something like that. Whereas like 2 years earlier, I probably would have been like, no, I don't think I can do that. So those years in the Formula 3 really got me, like I felt good. I think I felt like I was driving better than I'd ever driven before. I had confidence. I'd had success. And then JB calls and I was like, yeah, it sounds good. And then so then from there, I got to speak to John, and John's like, yeah, well, would you like to do it? You know, the Enduros. And I'm like, well, yeah, for sure. I remember hanging up the phone from him and doing a little dance, and a little happy dance, because I was like, oh, my God, this was something I'd never thought was going to happen again. So that was amazing. And then John was also like, well, actually, I'd like you to get a few more miles. So, you know, we're going to lease a car for you to run in the development series for a few rounds, and just so you've got some more kilometers under your belt before we go to the Enduros. And so it sort of all came about. And again, it wasn't me searching for it. Like I was really fortunate that I must have been on JB's radar as a driver, I'm sure. That was it.
Worked out.
Yeah.
And Garth wins a race that year, 2009 at Bathurst, yeah. with Will Davison for HRT.
And I was in the car
for the last stint.
Finish, yeah. So
you didn't even
know.
Get to see him. You were under the podium, yeah. later on, weren't you?
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine that that's going to happen any time ever again. Or hopefully one day.
Hopefully.
A wife could say that she didn't see her husband win Bathurst because she was in the race. How long have you been married for by that stage? You got married a few years before that, though, hadn't you?
We got married, now you're going to test me, 2004?
Let's say it was.
It is, it's 2004, yep. 2004 we got married, and, yeah, so we'd been married for like 5 years or so, yep. by then.
Yep. And then, so we do the Enduros, that was great, fantastic, but the Wilson connection continued, didn't mm-hmm. it? Because Touring Car Masters, the next year you did the season in the four-door Falcon.
Yep.
You won at Bathurst, I remember,
yes.
calling that race,
yes.
on the Sunday morning.
Yeah, that was
good.
Cool.
One to win. Don't win the Friday one,
no,
when not
no
as many people are
that.
Watching. Save it to Sunday. So at this stage, plenty of racing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Driving something that's totally unique and really different. But TCM's probably got a bit more serious since then, but at the time it was still had that level of fun
yeah.
element to
yep.
it. Did you enjoy the experience, the cars, the
yeah.
people, the series? I remember it being a really good time of TCM, but from inside, was that the case?
Yeah, it was. It was really fun. And again, it was probably more like when I'd been racing in the production car and the improved production, and the guys were just, you know, a group of guys who loved cars and motor racing, and were just passionate about it. So going racing with them was fun, and you know, they saw it's. I guess when you get to really – when you're trying to win championships at high levels, everything becomes very serious, and a lot of fun does drain out mm. because the only acceptable result is first. And so you do lose a bit of that fun element. So to again be back there with them, and, you know, they're excited that we finish fifth because, you know, they've built the car and they've put it together and they've got it to the track and they're working really hard. And, you know, that was really enjoyable. And and like you say, that race at Bathurst, to see Phil, the car owner, like, you know, he had tears in his eyes because his car had won at Bathurst. Like that was – it just meant so much to him and the guys that had been working on the car. Like, it was, it just really meant something, and it was a it was really fun. It was really great.
Where does that win stand? Winning on Sunday at Bathurst. I know the main race is the main race, but yeah. Is that when you look back at the stuff you've done over the journey, because you've done heaps of cool stuff, is that high on the list to go, yeah, actually, you know what, that was pretty cool?
Yeah, it is pretty cool, because I've had a bit of a mental thing about Bathurst for a long time. I think since the first time I went there and I had a bad experience.
Now,
and
I skipped that bit.
Thank you.
I can go back if you like. So, are we talking the Mazda 626 production car?
Maybe.
I think we are, aren't we?
Could be that.
Okay. Look it up on YouTube. Let's move on.
Actually, my dad's got a photo of that for some reason in his shed. I saw it the other day. Not the car going around, the car in the fence.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Good job.
Yeah, but I think since then, and I'd driven the Ford Mondeo up
there as
well. There's
a question we've got from one of our fans about that, so we were going to ask that. Yeah. But, yeah, that was sort of the next year or the same year,
yeah,
I think
it was
been.
Somewhere. I think was it was 2000. No, it was quite early.
That was 99.
It was 99,
that was,
yeah,
the 2 litre Bathurst where, yeah, it rained that day and it was.
And I think I might have had a little crash in that too.
Yep. YouTube.
So,
actually, no, we did release that race on DVD, sorry to say.
Oh, okay. I'll go find my DVD then.
You can buy it in our online store.
I don't think we even have a DVD player anymore.
I don't think many people do, but they should to buy the DVDs. But yeah. I've been trying for ages to put this stuff on streaming, but it's all too hard. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah, so it's
So Bathurst was a bit of a thing.
It was a bit of a thing for me mentally. And even when I was there in 2009 with you know, in the supercar, I remember being there and then the engineer said to me, he goes, what's going on? Like every other track we've been to with you and like the test days and I think it was Phillip Island was the 500 that year. He's like, you've been, you know, probably faster than David.
David Wall, who you were sharing with, yep.
And we get to Bathurst and he's like, and you're, you know, behind him and not like a tenth or two, like I was struggling. And he's like, what's going on? And again, it's that confidence thing. I just really, my confidence around there was just terrible. So to be in the Touring Car Masters and actually win the race. I mean, look, I have to say, because I'm one of these people, I have to say this. It was a reverse grid, like a reverse top eight. So I was starting off pole.
Leanne.
But still, I managed to win.
You've still got to win.
And, you know, all these great guys behind me and it was so much fun. And I'm sure you can imagine, like, driving that across the top of the mountain. It's like driving a boat across the top of the mountain. That car had plenty of straight line power.
Straight line handling.
Straight line handling, yeah, yeah. But not so much around the corners, not so much brakes.
Because they can't get past it. It's a wide thing.
Exactly. That's the thing. I was able to zoom up the mountain. They can't pass me, wobble across the top.
And zoom back down the other side.
Zoom back down. Yeah. So it's actually a good formula. Worked well. So, no, it was a really special race. And like I said, to see Phil after the race and he was just so happy. It was, yeah, it was really good.
No, we love TCM. Cool category. Yeah. Cool cars. And then... So I think you had Skull at first, didn't you? So was it the next year she arrived? So the racing sort of goes on hold for a bit. What did you do next after that? Was it the Formula Ford when you – a couple of years down
so
the track?
I
or did you just do something in the mung there?
Yeah, so that year – so I did actually – so it was a bit – I had again reached a point –
Again,
reached a point.
No, you haven't joined us at an earlier part of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I again reached a point. Okay, so I'm 30 that year. So 2010, I'm 30.
Yep.
Okay. And as most young people feel, 30 is like the end of your youth, right?
Yes. True. It's not, by the way, if you're 29
and listening.
No,
it's not, actually.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years on from there and I'm still feeling good. No, so at that point, I again got a bit disheartened because I'd – yeah, we did in 2009 in the supercars and had a great time and I was doing the TCM, having a great time in that. There was talk about, I think I had an option to run in the V8 Utes the following year in 2011.
I was going to ask you along the way, is there anything that was proposed that didn't happen or deals that you can now reveal? So Utes for 11 didn't happen though?
No. So then, you know, I was going to get paid, like it was going to be a reasonable amount.
How many people got paid to race Utes?
I know.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It was a
good
deal.
So why didn't this happen?
So in 2010, I heard about some supercar teams testing female drivers and I was not one of them. I heard about a reality show that was being done for a female driver, and I was not one of those invited to be part. And as much as my confidence had been knocked around, I would still have bet everything I owned that I would beat any one of those girls that was out there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that I was at least the best female driver, even if I wasn't the best overall driver. And so that just kind of really pissed me off, because I'm like, what do I actually have to do to get somebody to – I mean, I'd obviously been given the chance in 2009, but then that was sort of over and I was back to TCM and then Utes and then like what
– you know, what have I got to do?
You don't work for that long. I mean, and I guess to make a career out of driving Utes and TCMs and as much fun as they are, it's like that's not what I'd been.
No disrespect, but yeah, you know,
it's not what I'd been working towards. I wanted to be in supercars, and I wanted to be like a professional driver in supercars. That was my goal. And I'm 30, but the chances of me actually achieving that goal are pretty slim. I've got options to keep driving, but you know, is that really what I want to do? So I actually made a decision at that point, and kids had never been on the table, because for me, my goal was racing. That's what I was chasing. But I actually made a decision, and it was probably that whole thing about turning 30 as well. It's like, if I'm going to have kids, I may as well do it now, because then I might be able to actually get back into it later. It's not as if I've got something here that's, you know, if I'd been racing full time in the supercar series, I could probably would not have made that decision at that time. But at that time I just decided, well, you know what, what's stopping me from doing this now? Like, and then I also probably didn't want to get to say 40. I didn't want to keep plugging away racing Utes and that kind of stuff and then get to 40, because you know it's so old at 40.
But I'm like, turning 40 this year, by the way, so thanks for helping.
I'm 40 now. Okay,
Is it okay
being 40?
I need to know.
Well, I kind of haven't officially turned 40 because I didn't get to celebrate last year.
Didn't count if you had a COVID birthday last year.
Exactly, right? So I'm still 39.
Oh, cool. So I'm still 38 then. Yeah, that's great.
So we're good.
Cool.
But yeah, I didn't want to get to 40 and then go, okay, well, that hasn't worked, or my racing's over. Now I'm going to have kids. Oh, look, I can't have kids because I'm too old.
Yeah, I get it.
So it was just one of those things. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this now and see what happens. And I actually got pregnant a lot quicker than I realised. So Scarlett was actually on board at many races in 2010.
She won at Bathurst.
I think she might have just missed that one.
A bit early for her. Okay.
She may have been there, but she was very, very minute. But she did race at Phillip Island in Island Magic in the improved production car, and she won, got the lap record. She raced at Sandown and Homebush and Tasmania, and I remember actually. I never got morning sickness. Like I felt like I was hungover for about, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks, but didn't actually have morning sickness. But we had what Garth and I affectionately term as afternoon bitchiness.
I love that you have a joint description that you agree on.
Yeah,
of what it is.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was awful. Like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was like a switch.
Oh my gosh.
Boom.
And
I knew it
and I could not stop it.
It just went.
It was just
out.
And I remember being at Tasmania and we'd been racing, and it was a shit weekend because it had been raining and the Formula Fords kept crashing and damaging the walls and stuff. So our races, our TCM races got, I think maybe we got to drive around on a parade lap or something, or
it was
a really shit.
Yeah, it was crap.
Shit weekend, yeah. And it was the end of the day.
And it was at 1:59.
Yeah, and I was driving the truck to a lot of the races that year in the TCM. So I was taking JB's car and my car, and driving the truck. So of course, you know, JB's not there to help out in the packing up.
He's never prepped a car in his life.
But it was me and Dick Savvy who was, helping out as well, and he was driving trucks and we were loading the truck. And I just remember being such a bitch that day and to him, and I can still see his face in my mind. He's just got this poor, like, what have I done? Like, why are you attacking me? And I remember seeing his face. I'm like, I can't tell him because you're not supposed to race when you're pregnant. So I couldn't even tell him.
And you knew you're pregnant at that stage, obviously. So you keep
pregnant.
It a bit on the DL.
Just didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And I remember his face, and I'm just like, oh, poor Dick. Oh. So I apologized to him. Once we'd finished, like the last round was at Homebush that year. So once we'd finished, I sort of got all the guides together and let them know.
FYI.
And I did apologize to Dick. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I don't know if you remember, but I was such a bitch and I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean it.
It was after 2 o'clock and,
you know. Yeah, it was well after 2 o'clock. So that was fun, but no, it was, yeah, so Scarlett got to do a fair bit of racing.
She was a winner before she was born.
She was.
Yeah, that's not many people can say that they've won at racetracks and stuff like that.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So then I had her in June in 2011.
Which I remember was the lead up to, was it Townsville?
Townsville.
Because Garth won in Townsville the next week. That's why I always remember.
Yeah,
so
that's
10 years ago this year.
Yeah, she's turning 10.
Jeepers.
So I had her in June, and then I think my first race back after that was in the improved production again back at Island
Magic.
So is this
in the same Mazda as before?
Yeah.
Same car. It's been sitting there ready to go ever since. Nice.
Yeah. So she was a few months old at that point because I'd had a cesarean and all that. So, so back in the Mazda, I think we finished second. I think I was leading again in improved production.
Was this the national title again?
Wasn't the national title.
Oh, okay.
But it was just the Island Magic, which is
an annual big event at Phillip Island. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I was leading again, and then my gear stick literally broke off in my hand on the last lap.
Too much strength. Was too much strength.
So I was driving around with a little stub of like this broken off stub trying to change gears for the last lap, and I got passed, unfortunately. So I came second. But that wasn't too bad for a return after.
That's pretty good.
After babies. So, and then I didn't have that long between her and Sebastian. I think I was pregnant again by the time she was one. When she was one, I think I was pregnant again. So I just did a few bits and pieces in between them. But again, Sebastian did get to go racing while I was pregnant with him. I think we went over to Perth and raced in the improved production, and I did some testing in the Formula Ford and did a few things.
Your kids were winners before they were even on the planet.
They were. But you know what? It's all fine because I actually asked. I went over to Paris for a seminar on women in motorsport when I was Australia's delegate to the FIA's Commission on Women in Motorsport. And I went over there and they had the FIA's medical dude. Sorry if that's not the correct
technical term. Description. Yep. Yeah.
And he was talking about women racing when they're pregnant, and he confirmed that in that first trimester, they're low enough down in the pelvis that the belts and everything are not going to impact on the
So on the no problem, so you can do it.
I'm all good.
Cool.
I was all happy to. So I went right up to 11
So you
weeks
did your homework way out. You knew what you're doing.
I knew what I was doing, and I was actually really angry that I had to sign on my license that I would not race while pregnant because I thought that's my decision, not yours. But, you know. I'm sure it's for legal purposes and insurance and all that kind of crap.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic for a whole
really
other day,
is.
I reckon.
It really
I reckon
is.
I'm probably not qualified to go into that one, just quietly.
Australian Muscle Car Magazine is one of the most respected voices in motoring media. There's been over 140 issues and thousands of stories published in the last 22 years, from the amazing muscle car machines of the past to the present and the stars that steered and built them. AMC has something for everyone. Delve into the heritage of homegrown high performance now at musclecarmag.com.au.
But then Formula Ford. So was it 2014, 15? One of them, somewhere around there?
Well, I probably started getting back into the Formula Fords pretty soon after I had Sebastian.
Yeah.
So I was actually racing again over in Perth. I went over and raced Formula Ford. I think he was only about 11 weeks old when I got back in the car. And that was just in Formula Ford. But that wasn't, again, it wasn't anything serious, really. It was helping Brett out because Brett had again developed another stealth, but for the Duratec. So we were sort of working on that a little bit. I was racing my old car for a bit of fun. So we did that for a little bit. So yeah, and then for whatever reason, we decided that I'd have a go at the championship again in 2016.
And
I won finally.
Yes. Yay. So the last time you'd raced Formula Ford National Series was 2000.
Yep.
So 16 years on.
Yeah.
You got it done.
Yeah. Old enough to be some of their mothers, but that's okay. Because because I was, yeah,
well, smoked
them. I was 36, and some of the kids racing were 14 and 15. Mm. So, you know, easily old enough to literally be their mother. But yeah, that was fun. And again, I was studying. I went back to studying at that point, the same year, 2016, started studying again. And I had the kids with me.
Jesus.
So, yeah, so some of the weekends I was literally studying, dealing with kids, racing.
I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really good. And, you know, I did it with Team Sonic.
So you'd raced against them back in the day.
Yeah.
And now you were driving for them this time around, which was a bit different.
And they were awesome. Like Mick and Maria are just amazing. And Maria loved my kids, which was lucky for me because, you know, she would feed them or, you know, and they would, and Mick was great too. You know, they let them just hang out in the truck or whatever. And I mean, I must say my kids are, I think, pretty good. So they know because they've grown up at the track. They're not trying to run onto pit lane or get in anyone's way. They know where to be, how to keep out of the way. So they weren't too much of a hassle. But, you know, if you think about it, at the time, they were three and four, turning five. So they were pretty little, but it was lots of fun.
Shush. Mummy's looking at squiggly lines trying to go faster through turn one. Just,
yeah.
We'll get on to SpongeBob a bit later. Come on now. Give me an opportunity here. Since then, you've also, because I was involved in the category briefly, the Toyota 86 series, you did a bit of stuff there where we've had guest drivers come and do it, and you must have done really good because Neil Crompton keeps asking you back every year. So I think you've got the record for the most consecutive years of just about being invited back. So you must be doing something right there because he's a hard taskmaster. He's so hard to keep happy.
Like I think it's the fact that Scarlett gets on with his daughter Sienna so well, and they keep each other
pretty hard not to get on
happy.
With Sienna. Who, by the way, for our podcast listeners, in about maybe, I reckon it's 5 or 6 years' time, just pencil in
checking
Sienna Crompton to be more famous than her dad.
Oh, yeah.
As a performer of some sort. Singer.
She's awesome.
She'll be a slasher. She's actress slash model slash singer slash everything. Got it all going on, has Sienna Crompton, there's no doubt. TCR, had a little run in that, in the Audi. I went to say last year, but last year didn't happen.
Last year didn't happen, I know.
Year before, 2019. 12-hour in the Mark car.
Yeah.
You had a run in the – which is the V8-powered – was it the Mazda you drove, I think, that year? Yeah, I think it was. Were you in Tim Lay's car that weekend?
I can't remember.
Oh, there was that many of those things. Every year there's like 5 or 6 of them, and it's hard to know which one's which. But you had to go at that because you did the 12-hour years ago in a Honda, didn't you? In the production car.
Yes, I had.
And you did the diesel Astra too.
Yes. So I've done a couple of 12
hours.
Done a
few 12 hours in your time. I have to get you back for that. You have to drive a GT car. Have a crack in one of those. Speaking of having a crack, we have our National Motor Racing Museum Couch Racer questions, which are our questions from our fans on socials. And the National Motor Racing Museum at Bathurst is open 6 days a week. It's not open on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So next time you go there, don't go on Tuesday. The door won't open. You won't be allowed
in.
But every other day. But if you want to know the times, follow them on Facebook and check out the museum's Bathurst website for all the details. They do an awesome job. Don't know. Are there any tandem cars up there at the moment? I don't think there
don't
is.
I think so.
You've got about 48 of them in the shed here, so you can wheel one of them out there. You've looked at some of these questions. You told me before we started.
Yeah, but I don't know which ones you've chosen.
I know. That's the good bit. Diesel on Twitter. I don't think this is Diesel the performer, by the way.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it's a shame. He's good.
My sister liked him in the 80s/90s.
Mark Lazotte, for those playing along at home. Australian rock podcast here. He wants to know, when do we see Team Tander at the 6 hour? Seems it's going to become a family race in the years to come. See, have you and Garth ever shared a car?
No.
You've raced against one another.
Yes.
In the same race, but in different cars, sometimes in the same team. So TCR, you were teammates, but you've never shared an actual car.
No.
One day, maybe?
Maybe. I think the problem has been that it would have to be very much like a fun thing. So the six hour would probably be perfect because I would not want to be under pressure that much pressure. Like if it was a serious thing he was trying to do, and you know, while he's still at that point of his career where he goes racing and he's racing to win and he's racing at that level, I don't want the pressure of actually like letting us down or doing something wrong and screwing it all up. So I just think it's always been easier not to race together. Mm-hmm. Better for the relationship in that, you know, from that point of view. But you know, it is something I think that would be really fun for the two of us to drive together. And hey, yeah, like the 6 hour, all four of us, we've only got to wait another 6 years. And Sebastian, although Sebastian won't, you can't race up at Bathurst at 14, can you?
No, you've got to be 16, 17. I can't remember. New South Wales is different. Yeah.
So we might have to wait another 8 years.
And, it's all right. No worries.
You know, but that's all good. But that would be a lot of fun. Absolutely.
All right. So that's a possible.
Yeah. Don't count it off.
Not yes, but not no, but you never know.
Yeah.
Zane's question, well, it's kind of, did you ever consider teaming up in any race? Doesn't have to be Bathurst. Has there ever been a possibility?
No.
Okay. That's
really boring. That sorry. That's a really bad answer. But
that's a shame. Kiwi Bjorn. Mm-hmm. I love how Twitter gives you some weird names. What does your home garage have in it? Well, we've kind of half slightly covered that with the Formula Ford and stuff, but have you kept any of your other old race cars? Garth kept race cars?
Got them around the place though. So my dad has got the RX-7 and Sonic have got one of my Formula Fords, and we've got my old Formula Ford. We've got the two go-karts and we've got Garth's Camaro.
Yep.
And we've got a caravan. Of course, not that we have a chance to use it at the moment.
But you're not long ago you built a house, so yeah. Caravan comes in handy when you're building a house,
absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, so that's really all we've got in terms of cars. We don't have a lot. We haven't had time to collect cars.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I feel like as V8 Sleuth, we need to help find some of your old cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be willing. FOC, totally free. I think we should find your Daihatsu Sirion, don't you think?
Do you think it would still
exist?
Well,
it'd fit in the corner. It wouldn't take up much room.
It would.
It'd be nice and quiet.
It'd be nice.
I want to find it now. I'm so up for finding
it. Well,
there
you go. If anyone knows
where it is. If anyone knows where the Sirion is, please tell us. We'll give you $20 for it. Michael Gray, what's your favourite racing category to have raced in?
It'd have to be Formula 3.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And it was, you know, driving those cars was just pure enjoyment, like the way they handle and the aero. And I had some really great battles in it as well. Like I remember one race at Phillip Island and basically driving side by side with, I think it was Nathan Karate.
Oh, yeah.
Basically down the straight. Turn one, turn two, turn three, turn four, turn five, like basically almost a whole lap side by side just because of the grip you have at Phillip Island. The track is so big and flowing and just awesome racing. And like I said, the cars were just pure joy to drive. Absolutely.
I get a feeling you liked your Formula 3 era. You spark up when we talk Formula 3. So
I'd probably race one of those again, maybe. But I'm not very fit now, so that's the problem.
I love how you just dobbed yourself in and then stepped yourself straight back out of the comment.
No, then I remembered I haven't actually trained for a
it's
long
fine.
Time.
Fine. No worries. But you just build a big side rest and you can just hold your head up. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Andre Fuller sort of asked the question that you touched on earlier. What were your thoughts on driving the Mondeo Super Tourer? How did it all come about and what was it all like to drive? So I think you drove with Dean Canto back then, and that was the it wasn't the 1,000 by that stage. The 2 litre cars were doing a 500. And I just remember that weekend, it was wet.
Yeah, I don't ever actually remember much of it. I think
it's probably not a bad thing.
Wiped it from my memory because it really wasn't like, I just didn't. I don't think I did a great job. And I kind of, you know, it was really great to have that opportunity at the time. And I think I enjoyed driving the car, the car
cool
itself.
Cool car, Super
Tourist. Absolutely.
Really cool.
It was a good car and the team was really nice, and I knew Dean from karting days and all that kind of stuff. So that was all really good and really positive. But, yeah, I just had a bit of a shit weekend at Bathurst, so I kind of wiped a lot of it from my memory.
Let's move on.
Yep.
This is a cracker. Matt Bottrell from Facebook. Is that you in the Monash University ad that pops up on Facebook?
Yes.
It is. I've seen that too.
Well, and you didn't recognise me.
No, I said, no, that's why I saw the question. I thought, yeah, I want to ask that too.
Yes, it is me. And I did it. I didn't know that I was actually going to be used as the face of on their ads, okay? So I agreed to do like a testimonial because I did my study, my psych degree online.
Right.
100% online because with the kids
didn't
and everything.
Set foot in the place.
No, not at all. So with the kids and racing and all that, online was the way I wanted
before
to do
COVID.
It.
Before COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, yeah.
So because I'd done it and I actually did, I did do really well with my studies and then I think they contacted me to see what my story was and I'm like, yeah, I'm a mom and this and a race and blah, blah, and they loved that story.
Of course
so
they did.
They wanted to use it as a testimonial for other people to say, look, you can balance your study with your other stuff that you're doing. And then while we did, it was actually a video tutorial, video testimonial, and then they're like, oh, we'll just get some like photos as well. And I thought it would be just for like the thumbnail of, oh,
yeah,
you know,
Leanne's what you say,
story.
There's your photo. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it starts popping up on all these ads and people start sending me screenshots. And I've even had, because like I said, I'm working as a provisional psychologist now. And I've even had clients come in and go, is that you on the Monash ad? I'm like, yes. I'm so sorry.
Monash's advertising clearly works. Whatever their social media strategy is, it's clearly going very, very well. So, Matt, yes.
Yes, it's
that
me.
Is Leanne yes. on the Monash ad. I think you need to get like a better cut or something for that.
I got a voucher because they can't pay you for a testimonial.
They can give you something though.
So they gave me like a travel allowance or something.
Which is great when COVID hits and you can't travel anywhere. Fantastic. Thanks so much. Really good. Matthew Ray, this one we didn't sort of cover off. So when you shared with David Wall at Bathurst, he's really tall.
Mm, yeah.
How did you manage that? Because he's been pole. He's huge.
Yeah, he's really tall. And I think he suffered more than me because he had to be.
So did he have to adopt your sitting position more than he had to adopt?
Yeah, because I mean,
had to adopt his.
I can only sit so far. Like your insert can only be so far, so big, because at a certain point, then you've got no side support. Because
so
if
you just pushed you out of the seat.
Yeah, if I had it too big, I would have been out of the seat, which means no side support going around the corners, which means you're going to tire a lot quicker. So we could only go so far back to allow me to reach everything. And so then he had to really just kind of squish in there. And I think he had some you'll have to ask him, but I think he had some back issues and a lot of discomfort having to be
squished
in there.
He's a card-carrying member of the Chiropractic Club of Australia right now.
Yeah, so he struggled more than me. And but it wasn't, you know, great for me because I was still quite stretched to get everything, to reach everything. But, you know, that's what happens when you pit people who are a foot difference in height.
Great. I'm driving a supercar again. Who am I driving with? David Wall. Oh, crap. That's a bit tricky. But anyway.
Yeah.
It worked. It worked okay. It was all good. That's our National Motor Racing Museum catch race of questions. There's probably some that you had an answer ready for, but you didn't
to
wheel out
because
we didn't pick them. So thanks to everyone who sent those in. Before we go, we do the Motor Focus Top 10 Shootout for our friends at Motor Focus who do great model cars in Queensland. They've probably made a few of yours over the journey and stocked some of those as well. But we've kind of we did touch on a little bit earlier on about Garth, but how's he going with the tally stuff? Have you been able to pass on any tips? Is he going all right with it? Are you critiquing from the couch?
I'm not critiquing at all because I know I definitely could not do TV. Absolutely could not do TV. So I'm in no position to give tips. Obviously, I can compare and contrast to other people that I see on TV. But he is, and I'm sure it's of no surprise to people who know him, he's approaching this the same way he approaches his driving. Mm-hmm. So he is critiquing himself. He's looking at where he can improve, what he needs to do better, where he thinks that, oh, I didn't do this properly, next time I'm going to try this, try that. So he's approaching it very much from that same aspect that he, you know, like anything he does, he's going to do it, he's going to do it well. So he's, I think he's really enjoying it. I think, and especially after last year with nothing going on at all, you know, I think he's really enjoying being able to get back out there and be part of it all. And, he seems to be enjoying it.
Seems to be.
Yeah,
I think it's
only been a couple of rounds.
I think
rounds,
he's settled in very well. Yeah. Very well, just quietly. I think he's going all right. So the top 10 shootout, have you ever listened to it? Now, you were getting nervous before we did this pod because you told me that you were driving recently and you listened to a few old ones to get a bit of a feel for it all. So it's word association.
Yeah, I'm scared of these because I'm not very quick-witted and I'm not very good at thinking.
No, you just have to be honest. Just to be open and honest. And if it takes a while for a word to come to you, we edit it and cut it together. And it makes it sound like you thought of it immediately.
Good.
So it's easy.
I
it's
like
really
that.
Easy. So I'll start with an easy one first. And you can have a couple of words if one's too hard. Like I'm not a real asshole. I'm quite flexible, so it's okay.
Okay.
Bathurst.
See, I got nothing.
For crying out loud, it's Bathurst, surely.
Well, I see it in my mind when you say it. I see Bathurst.
Visualize.
I see it in my mind. It's there. See, I told you I'm really bad at this and now I've talked myself out of it. Can we come back to it?
We can come back to it.
Pass.
Pass. Stealth.
Fast.
It's good. Lane. Huh. Phillip Island.
See, I might need more than one word here because I love it. It's beautiful to drive on. It's just so smooth and amazing and fun.
Nice. See, now you're getting going. Daihatsu Sirion.
Very cute.
Cute, yes. TCM.
Am I allowed to say fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you not allowed to say fun?
I don't know. Fun.
You can't repeat answers, by the way. That's
See, I think
rule.
I'd mentioned fun in Phillip Island.
I told you before, I'm not an asshole. I'm flexible. I can go with it.
Okay.
Gold star.
Well, sad that it got away.
It's not kind of what I was meaning, but I didn't mean to take you down that road. But, okay, it's an answer. Toyota 86.
Enjoyable. It's different to fun.
It is. You think I was going to jump on you for saying that, didn't you? Wakefield Park.
I don't want to say the first word that came to mind. I'll say bumpy instead.
Yeah, there you go. Job done. And I'll make – oh, so Bathurst we've got to go back to.
Mm.
Bathurst?
Challenging.
There you go. See, now you're into it. Now you're rolling. Right at the very end when there's only one to go.
Mm.
Garth Tander.
Oh, he's a pretty good race car driver, isn't he? I think he's pretty hot.
Sound
Do you
like
know
such
him?
A fangirl. I'll introduce you sometime.
Could you?
Yeah, sure. No worries. Yeah. He's in the next room. thanks for sitting down. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming all the way out here into the
No. Thanks
wilderness.
For hosting us here at Chateau Tander. We missed a few things along the way. Mini challenge.
Mm.
Astra 12, I think we covered a little bit. There's a pile of other things that we can save up for another time, and I'm sure there was a pile of things that could have happened, should have happened, that would have happened, that didn't happen, that we didn't cover off as well. But I think we've got a bunch of stuff we didn't know before. For our listeners who might not have known the full Leanne story, I think they've got a pretty full sort of a story now between all the stuff that you've done. So for the best part, I guess, the last 20 years of knowing you, it's been great to see what you've done in the sport. I'm sure you've got plenty left to do. And how many years is it now that we've got to wait before the two kids join you for that 6 hour again?
Yeah, we've decided about 8.
All right. We'll lock it in. Start the countdown.
8 years.
Start the
Got countdown. 8 years to find a car and a sponsor.
Come on now. It'll be done. Again, though, thanks for having me. Thanks for sitting down and going down memory lane. It didn't hurt that much,
Thank
did it?
Thank you.
I
remembered more than I thought I would. So.
You did well. Thanks again.
Thanks.
A massive thank you to Leanne Tander and the whole Tander family for having me at their place recently. Great to sit down with Leanne and talk about her amazing career. She has achieved so much. She is way too humble about it, but she's been a trailblazer and she's done incredible things and she's got plenty more racing left in her in years to come. And no doubt, I reckon give it about 8, 9, 10, 11 years, Bathurst 6 hour, Garth, Leanne, Sebastian, Scarlett, I can see it. It's just a case of what car they might be in by then. Don't forget to head to our online bookshop. The website address is bookshop.v8sleuth.com.au. Gifts for all ages, gifts for all people, gifts for all sorts of stuff and all price points as well. Prints, books, DVDs, memorabilia. Get on it. If you don't know what to buy, gift vouchers are also available from our online bookshop. Hey, thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. Thanks for your amazing feedback. We're getting great uptake, great connection, great following, great suggestions for future episodes. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast so as you get the notification of when our next episode is dropped so you can hear it straight away. Tell your mates, get on board, pass on the good word. You can subscribe to our newsletter from our v8sleuth.com.au website as well. That's where we pump out usually one or two a week
to give you some of the prompts to our stories on our website. Occasionally there's a new product to announce and some various other things as well. And socials is the other place to find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know the drill, we're everywhere. Follow us there and get in touch as well. Anyway, that's it for another edition of the V8 Sleuth podcast powered by Repco. We will chat to you again very soon. Don't forget, every Tuesday, Repco Supercars Weekly, our look at the Repco Supercars Championship. Next Wednesday, we've got a very special chat with a very special guest. He's got a very special famous father, but he's been carving his own name as well. Jack Perkins is on the podcast next week. Part one of the chat with him is next Wednesday. Do you know how to find the right oil for your car? Now you can find out quickly and easily online, thanks to Castrol's Rego to Oil tool. Simply type in your Rego, select your state, and within seconds you'll know the best Castrol products to unlock the edge of performance in your car. So what's your car best suited to? Just search Rego, the number 2, and oil, and find out.